Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, the country is really in a state of shock when just days after the supermarket shootings in Buffalo, we saw a gunman open fire at a school in Texas, killing more than 20 people, most of them small children. What's the local reaction been?
Yes, there are a lot of heavy hearts in the Northland as a result of this horrific news. Several school districts in the Duluth area asked for larger law enforcement presence this week, and a few asked staff to double-check measures that were already in place, such as magnets on security doors. Most middle and high schools in the area already have a school resource police officer station there, but school district leaders said officers were set to patrol past schools more often this week so that they could be noticed more readily and be on hand more speedily. Superior School District Administrator Amy Starzecki said that these officers are to be visible and help reassure family and staff that they're present and around. Wayne Whitman, the superintendent at Hermantown Community School, said that the plan there was to have as normal of a day as possible on Wednesday and going forward. John Engelking, who is the superintendent at Proctor Public Schools, as well as other district leaders, sent letters to parents and staff offering reassurance of their security measures.
And the area also had observances in memory of those killed both in Buffalo and in Texas. One observance that we'll hear from at the end of this program. Well, in certainly less heartrending matters, in Two Harbors, the proposed recall of the mayor is back on. Yes?
Yes, it is. The Two Harbors City Council voted to recall Mayor Chris Swanson on Monday. This followed a tense hour-long meeting in which the council voted 6-1 to call for a recall of Swanson, with only Swanson voting no. The embattled mayor now has until the end of the month to resign. If he does not, a recall election will be held in August. This move comes after the second recall petition submitted by hundreds of Two Harbors voters was certified by city administration last week. The recall effort was spurred by Swanson's underwater hotel and cryptocurrency pursuits and other potential conflicts of interest and ethical concerns coming to light. In a March memo of opinion, City Attorney Tim Costley wrote that Swanson repeatedly used his official city position for personal benefit or business interests, violating both the city's communication policy and city code. But on Monday, Swanson said there had not been one allegation that had been proven against him and dismissed Costley's findings as issues with the communication policy. He then read directly from the amended lawsuit filed last week seeking to nullify the recall and stating that it was unclear exactly what the recall process was. This lawsuit was filed by Tim Jezierski, who's the chair of the Lake County Republicans, along with a Jane and John Doe against the city of Two Harbors and organizers of the resign or recall effort. The lawsuit claims the recall effort erred because it failed to follow Minnesota's process to recall a state official. However, Swanson is a city employee. A hearing on the lawsuit is expected soon. Now, again, Swanson has until 4:30 on Tuesday, May 31st, to resign. If he does not, a recall election will be held August 9th, in which voters can say yes or no on whether they think Swanson should remain in office.
Well, moving down from Two Harbors to the harbors of Duluth and Superior, the shipping season is in full swing, or is it?
Well, it's a bit sluggish at the moment. The first full month of seasonal shipping totals in the Twin Ports dipped considerably compared to the same month a season ago. Iron ore through the Great Lakes was down nearly 45%, totaling 3 million tons. That's a figure that was 41% worse than the five-year average. The Port of Duluth Superior made up 2.43 million short tons of ore in April after seeing only three ore boats start the season in the last week of March. That total was 38% below the start of last season and 27% off five-year averages. Similar dips in output were recorded at ports in Silver Bay and Two Harbors. Industry leaders are blaming a difficult ice out in March and April, specifically with ice buildup and delays in Whitefish Bay on the eastern end of Lake Superior. The industry used the dip in output to once again advocate for another heavy U.S. icebreaker to join the Mackinac on the Great Lakes. However, on a positive note, grain exports from U.S. ports are in strong demand, along with shipments of salt, steel, and containers. Shipping officials noted that there are unusual factors that continue to affect the world of cargo transportation, including ongoing global supply chain delays and the war in Ukraine.
Well, Danny, the ships need water to get through. Is there enough on the lake?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers just came out with their latest six-month outlook. Water levels will remain high on most of the Great Lakes, except for Lake Superior. But even though levels are going to be higher on most lakes, they're still going to be nowhere near the record highs that we have seen in recent years. And if you remember, water levels on Lakes Michigan and Huron reached a record high in 2020. And in 2019, Superior also set a record high because we were really coming off of some pretty wet conditions. In fact, 2019 was the wettest year on record for the Midwest and Wisconsin since record keeping began. In the last 18 months or so, we've seen levels come down somewhat, but, you know, Lake Superior is the only one that is going to be pretty much around the long-term average. But even so, the lake has only received around 88% of its average precipitation in the last year. As for Lakes Michigan and Huron, they're about 2 feet below record highs that they saw in 2020.
Well, concerning smaller bodies of water, the spearfishing tradition continues among the Lac du Flambeau tribe.
That's right, Robin. Spearfishing is a tradition that's practiced every spring by Ojibwe tribes in northern Wisconsin, and it's been passed on for generations. You know, it's part of tribal rights to hunt, fish, and gather on land ceded to the U.S. government under federal treaties that were reached nearly 200 years ago. And I went out with a group from the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa earlier this month as they were teaching tribal youth the time-honored tradition. And so, you know, Lac du Flambeau actually gets its name from the practice of spearfishing. When the French came to the region, they called it Lac du Flambeau, which is Lake of the Torches. In Ojibwe, it's called Waswagani. Tribal president John Johnson Sr. says means Lake of the Fire. And for hundreds of years, tribal members have harvested fish by torchlight in birch bark canoes at night. And these practices, again, were upheld by tribal treaty rights. But that doesn't mean that the state has always recognized them. In fact, a little more than 30 years ago, hundreds of non-native people harassed tribal spearfishers at boat landings in northern Wisconsin. They hurled rocks and racist remarks. Basically, they protested the tribe's ability to hunt, fish, and gather on off-reservation lands that they ceded to the federal government. While there was no trouble on the night that I went out, the tribal president says not all people know or understand these rights. He said that they don't realize that this is food that they utilize to support their community, which has been growing over the years. And so they took out a number of tribal youth, I believe it was around 20 kids, and they were able to collect about 25 fish per permit. And when they came back to shore, they counted the walleye and measured them to comply with tribal regulations. And, you know, the typical harvest for tribal spearfishers on off-reservation lakes ranges between 30,000 to 40,000 walleye each year, according to state regulators. And in comparison, state anglers harvest about five times as many fish, with more than 200,000 walleye taken from the same lake each year. And so this was a really an opportunity for the tribe to pass on this tradition to its tribal youth in the hopes that they will also learn and practice this tradition for years to come and pass that on to future generations.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with sounds of a memorial Wednesday night at Peace United Church of Christ in Duluth to the victims of Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.